Again, I greet each one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome those who have come live streaming. I hope and pray you've come ready to hear the word from our brother and priest Aaron Moser. So I will turn over the podium to him now.
Thank you, Gordon. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to all those who are live streaming, or if you're listening to this later on. I greet you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. And you can see my title up here. And my sermon today is all about friends. So I'm sure most of you have friends. I'm looking out in the crowd. I see a lot of friends. So that's good. It's a good thing to be talking to a bunch of friends instead of a bunch of non-friendly people. It's much easier to speak when you're facing a crowd of friends, a friendly crowd. So we need friends in our lives. You know, we are not built to go through this life all by ourselves. We are built, we are geared, we are designed to have companions, to have people to go through this life with. It's not something that we are capable of doing it alone. You know, and God saw this because you look back in Genesis, and he makes, and this statement is made in Genesis in the second chapter, the 18th verse, and Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. He created all the creation, and he created all the animals and the plants and the earth and the sky, and everything had balance, and everything had a relationship, and everything had some kind of, you know, meaningful interaction with something else, except, you know, his last creation, which was Adam, and it didn't have anything that he could interact with. He didn't have any friends. And God recognized this, and God created us, and he said, you know, I want a relationship with people, so I'm going to create you with your free will. You have your free will to choose what you want to choose. You can choose me or you cannot choose me, because that's what friends are. We choose our friends. You know, we don't get to choose our family. We don't get to choose necessarily our coworkers. You know, but we get to choose our friends. And God wanted friendship with us. And he saw Adam there. And he said, you know what, Adam, you need a friend. And if we look in other places in our scriptures as well, and you look in Ecclesiastes in the 4th chapter, in the 8th verse, it's put a little bit differently. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet there is no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it was a sore travail. You know, and what they're saying there is, you know, if without other people in your life, without friends, there's not a whole lot of point going out and getting a bunch of stuff. It's hollow. It doesn't fulfill you. You know, work is always there. There's no end. I can keep working and working and working, and I don't get anything out of that. No, if I don't get anything out of it, what's the point? If it's only for me and my selfish desires, you know, it ends up ringing very hollow. And in the very next verse, the answer, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You know, if I have someone to work for, someone to work with, someone who can share my victories, who can share my defeats, who can share with me, you know, the good times and the bad, you know, that's what makes it worth living. That's what makes it worthwhile, having someone to be a friend. You know, not just any friends will do. We do need the right kind of friends. I'm sure you guys have all experienced, you know, people who claim to be our friends or who we thought were our friends, and then they turn out to not be friends. They're fair weather friends. You know, well, things are going good for you. They're willing to be close to you. If you have something they need, they're willing to be your friend. But then that's gone, or conditions change. You know, they fade away or ignore. Yeah, you know, we've all had that happen to us. It's not very much fun. We have had friends that will get us into trouble. All had friends like that. That friend who wants to get us into trouble. You know, we've had friends that want to lead us astray, perhaps. So we need the right kind of friends, not just any friend will do. And I got a scripture here. It's in Alma, and it's talking about Amulek. Now, Amulek, it says back in chapter 8 of Alma, says, I had a lot of friends. I had a lot of things. I had a lot of people knew me. I was rich. And I was going about, he says, you know, I was walking around in my sin, basically, and I was happy to do so. But then one day, I was given this message. I was walking about going to see my friends, and a messenger of the Lord came to me and said, hey, there is a man. He has been fasting for the sins of the people, and he's hungry. And you need to go back home, and you need to go feed him. And so he listened to that messenger, and he went back home, and he found Alma. And Alma indeed had been fasting, and so he took care of him, took him into his home. And the messenger told him, this is a holy man. And Amulek went and testified of that later on. And he then began to be converted. And he was converted to, what Alma had to teach. Converted to Christ. And they became friends. And Amulek ended up, getting rid of a lot of his friends. And it came to pass that Alma and Amulek having forsaken all his gold and silver and his precious things, which were in their land of Ammonihah, for the word of God, he being rejected by those which were once his friends and also his father and his kindred. He realized, those friends are not going to take me where I want to go. I need the right kind of friend. I can't go with this old crowd over here. They're going to lead me to the wrong place. All this gold and silver and riches and wealth and knowledge and power and friendship with these people. All I did is make one change in my life. And I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. And they rejected him. You are no longer our friend. Because you're not living the way that is beneficial to us. We liked you when you were going about and you had money and you had gold and you had silver and you had things and you could do stuff for us. That was a good friendship for us. But Amulek realized, this is not going to take me to the right place. I've got to sever some ties here and walk away. But fortunately, go down to verse 110. Now as I, Alma, having seen all these things, therefore, he took Amulek, came over to the land of Zarahemla, and took him to his own house, and administered unto him in his tribulations, and strengthened him in the Lord. And if you read the rest of this story, they had to be some pretty good friends, because they witnessed some pretty terrible things. Witnessed the destruction of some very innocent people, people that they knew, people that they had convinced to follow Christ. They'd gone to jail together. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But, they were able to do it because, they had one another. They had friendship. Someone to go with you through the trials, through the hard times. Someone that can now bring you into their home, take care of you, give you strength. We need the right kinds of friends. There's lots of different kinds of friends. I looked on the internet as I was studying this, and I found an article and said, there's these five groups of friends. We have people that are close friends to us. Those are the ones that we're willing to do things and share probably some more intimate details with in our lives. Then we have some friends that are lifelong. And it's no matter how far apart we get, no matter how much time has been between the last time we saw them, we're still good friends with these people. A lot of those are, friends we make in school, high school, or elementary school, childhood friends. Those, a lot of times those are lifelong friends. You got friends of convenience, friends that we just happen to be riding the same bus together every day, and they happen to be there. They're conveniently there, right? We walk to the same restaurant every day, and there's someone there that's always there. It just happens to be that they're there, and we strike up conversations, kindred spirits. That's just convenient because they're right there. You have these chapter of life type of friends. We just happen to be going through the same thing. When pregnant mothers get online and they share their stories. That's that chapter of their life. And they want to talk to other people that are going through the same thing. And then you have your work friends. These kind of come and go. But these are all different types of friends. But these aren't the friends that I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about the kind of friends that you need. So here's the five ones that I found. We all need a friend, a covenant friend. We need a spiritual friend. We need a confidant. We need someone who's hospitable. And occasionally we need a hitman. We'll get to what each of these are, so don't worry. We'll get there. All right, so what's a covenant friend? This is the friend that is a friend no matter what. Ride or die, we're sticking it out. Even if it's not beneficial to me, if it's a detriment to me, you're going to be my friend. You know, someone that is, doesn't matter what the conditions are, doesn't matter what life brings, this is the friend that's always going to be a friend. No matter what happens to us, no matter what happens to them, they're a friend. So again, you look back in Alma, and there's this story where you have the 2,000 young men who went to battle, right? Well, the reason that those 2,000 men had to go to battle was because of a covenant that was made by their parents, right? And so these parents, they had come in, and they were bloodthirsty, they were warlike, and they went in and they murdered innocent people. And then through the grace of God, they were converted. And they saw their ways, and they saw what was wrong. They said, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. Matter of fact, I'm going to bury all of our weapons in the earth, and we're never going to pick them up again. And we're going to come over to the Nephites. It was a group of Lamanites. We're going to come over to you guys. We're going to ask that you protect us, because we're never going to go to war again, ever. We're going to make a covenant with you. You take care of us, and we will provide. And we won't be a burden to you. And so they brought these people in, and they gave them land, and they began to become part of their community. And then later on, you know, of course, the Lamanites rose up again like they always do, and they start to war with the Nephites. And this group of people looks out and they see the suffering that's taking place. And they see the pain that their brethren are going through. And they're like, you know what? It's not fair. We're going to have to give up our covenant because I don't want to sit here and be a burden. And pick up here in the 24th chapter, in the 68th verse. But behold, as they were about to take their weapons of war, they were overpowered by the persuasions of Helaman and his brethren. They were about to break the oath which they had made. And Helaman feared lest by doing so, they should lose their souls. Therefore, all those which had entered into this covenant were compelled to behold for their brethren, wade through their afflictions in their dangerous circumstances at this time. And so Helaman could see, you know, hey, I see that you're looking at us. I see that it's hard to sit there and watch us. And, you know, on paper, it makes more sense if you guys come and help us out. We're outnumbered. We don't have the ability to fight. Their army is bigger. And it would be more beneficial to me if you did lay aside this covenant and come and help us out. Helaman saw, because I don't want your souls in danger. You made a covenant. And even though it's hard for me, and I have to bear this burden, I'm not going to let you break it. Ride or die. No matter what. Even though it would be beneficial for me for you to change, I'm not going to allow that. Your soul is too important. You know, we need this friend. This friend who is, no matter what happens to us, no matter what happens to them, you know, the friendship stands. So it doesn't matter. We can get angry with one another, become upset, and it doesn't matter. You know, you're my friend, and we're going to be friends. We're going to forgive one another. We're going to move on. Next kind of friend that we need, spiritual friend. You know, this is someone who prays for you, prays with you, someone who is willing to talk to you about your soul and its value and how it's doing. Someone that you can, you're like, hey, I'm going through this trial, spiritual trial. I've committed some sins. I need some help. Can you pray for me? Can you pray with me on this? Yeah. Yeah, I'm willing to do that. You have kind of a friendship found in Mosiah in the second chapter. Verse 7. It's King Benjamin, and he was a friend to his people. He was their king, but at the same time, he didn't put big taxes on them. He didn't put them in dungeons and prisons. He didn't, you know, conscript all of their young people to go serve him. You know, he worked for his own. He just made the good decisions for them. He was a good friend. And he cared about their spiritual well-being. In Mosiah, in the second chapter, 7th verse, "And King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak unto them, saying, My friends, my brethren, my kindred, and my people, I would call your attention that ye may hear and understand the remainder of my words which I shall speak unto you." So you guys, I know you guys, you're my friends. Here's what you need. He gives a whole list of things, spiritual advice. This is what you need. I'm your friend. I'm going to tell you this. It's not all easy. Sometimes these things are hard to hear. He tells in verse 21, "And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of an angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins." He was telling them the path. You're my friends. I'm going to tell you how to get to the end, what it takes. Because I'm concerned for your soul. I want to see you in heaven with me. I want to reside in glory with you one day. Here's how you get there. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you so that we can be there for all eternity. You know, we need a friend that's a confidant, someone that we can speak to, and our secrets are safe. Someone that we can get things off our chest, a sounding board that, you know, they're not going to go turn around and give it all away, use it for their own gain. You know, it takes some fortitude. You know, sometimes gossip is it's a powerful thing. It's a dangerous thing. Look in Proverbs 16:28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. You know, that's a quick way to not make friends. Have a piece of information, have something they told you in confidence, and then you start sharing it. You know, it's betrayal of trust. I don't want to be your friend anymore if you're going to do this. You're going to take this little piece of information I have, and you're going to go share it with everyone else. It doesn't make friends. Again, Proverbs 17, verse 9. "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends." Again, we're not hiding sin. That's not what this scripture is talking about. But it's understanding, like, you know, people are not perfect. They make mistakes. Sin is real. We all sin. But I'm not going to take that and, hey, guess what so-and-so did? Did you hear about this person? Did you hear about that person? And then we all whisper behind their back, you know, and it doesn't make friends. It separates us out. So what kind of a friend do we need? If you look in Proverbs again, 31. "For who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life, because he trusts her." You're the one that I can give my secrets to. You're the one I can confide in. And you're not going to go spread it to all of our friends. You're going to guard that. You know, and it makes for a strong friendship. So we need that friend that's a confidant. You know, we need a hospitable friend. Someone who's giving. 1 Peter 4:8. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one with another without grudging. As every man receiveth the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." You know, what Peter's saying here is, like, you have been blessed by God, and it is our job to then bless others without grudging, with being willing to give, being willing to be hospitable, being willing to give of your time and your energy and your effort. You're talking, and you see a need. You know, my friend has a need over here. I can cover that. They need some time. They need the leaves raked in their yard. They need, you know, a tool. They need a meal. You know, being hospitable. Giving. You know, we all need a friend like that. Someone who can, you know, make us feel at home, even if we're not at home. Someone who makes us feel comfortable, even if we don't feel comfortable. Friend that gives. Giving of themselves. Oftentimes, that's how we start to make friends. You know, if someone reaches out, just a little bit of hospitality. Gives a little bit of themselves, gives a little of them something. It doesn't have to be a lot. But we need to give. We need to have a friend that gives. And here we go. The hitman. We all need a hitman. You know, we need someone that's willing to do battle on our behalf. This is the friend that, you know, you go into the restaurant and you order a food and the order comes out wrong and you're like, ah, it's okay. And your friend says, nope, that is not what they ordered. You, get over here. Waiter, waitress, come here. This is not what was ordered. Like, it's okay, it's okay. No, it's not okay. That's your hitman. Now I'm gonna make this right. Look in John in the 18th chapter, 7th verse. When they come to get Christ, then he asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he, therefore you seek me. Let these go their way. So that's me. And these are my friends. Let them go. It's got nothing to do with them. The saying might be fulfilled of which he spake. Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. And we look at that and think, oh, it's kind of violent. It's not nice. But what was Peter thinking? He's innocent. He's done nothing wrong. They don't have the right to do this. I know he's innocent. They know he's innocent. I just don't like what he has to say. And I'm going to stand up. You don't get to take my friend. I'm going to fight on his behalf. Because it's wrong what you're doing and you know it. I'll fight your battle. You know, you need to ask yourself, do you have any friends like this? Are you a friend who's like this? Now, you all need to take a moment and reflect. Look around you. Who's in your circle? Who do you contact? Who do you talk to? Who is it you go to? You know, not everyone fills every role, but sometimes, you know, filling a role or two is a good thing. Take a look around. Who are your friends? Who's my confidant? Who's my spiritual friend? Who's my covenant friend? Who's my hospitable friend? Who's my hitman? Now, if you've got a friend like that, you need to tell them that you're thankful. That you're grateful for them in your lives, you know. That you enrich their lives, you make it better, you make it worthwhile. It's a little easier to go out and face the world when you got someone who's got your back. And then the question comes, you know, what if I don't have any friends like this? Loneliness is real. There's people that are lonely. They feel like they don't have a friend. They don't have anyone on this list. Don't worry. We're going to find someone for you. Yeah. I feel like you're hanging out there. But it's okay. We have an all-encompassing friend. If you look at John in the 15th chapter, Jesus is speaking. He speaks in the entire chapter. And really, when you look at it, the central theme is friendship. You know, but it comes with some rules, it comes with some regulations, just like a real friendship does. John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. So there's this rule, right? It's a, friendships must be fruitful. You've got to provide. You can't just be a leech. You can't just be a parasite and take and take. That's not friendship. You know, friendship goes both ways. I'm going to give you something, and you need to produce. Christ, that's what he's saying. I'm going to give you things, and I have an expectation that you're going to produce fruit. If not, I have to separate myself from you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now, if you ask something of me as a friend, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to be hospitable. Continue on. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He's talking to his friends. He's talking to us. This is the friendship that I want. I want to have joy in you. I want to experience your successes. I want to be there if you fail. I want to take care of you in either of those. I'm going to make this covenant with you. If you're willing to keep the commandments my Father has given, I am willing to be there no matter what. No matter what you've done, no matter what mistakes you've made, my friendship extends to you. Always. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends indeed, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, this is this fruitful relationship. It's not one way. We can't just ask and ask and ask and ask. That's not being a friend. We have to be able to give, be hospitable, be willing to go through whatever it is he asks us to do, no matter what, that feels good or not. Be willing to pray. Be willing to fight. Even if it means we won't come out on top. You can say, that's nice, but I'm still lonely. You know, and you're not alone. I don't have any friends. All my friends left. Well, you're not alone. Matthew 26:38. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And this is Christ requesting his friends in the garden. I need you to come with me. I need you to be that spiritual friend. I need you to pray with me. I'm facing a trial. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So he prays, and he goes back to his friends, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? You couldn't be a friend to me in the time that I needed it most? You know, Christ knew what that felt like. He knew what it was like to have his friends reject him. not understand, not be there. And so how did he react? Well, if we want to be a friend, we need to do what Jesus did. If we want friends, we need to do what Jesus did. We need to be a friend, even if they turn against us. Does that mean you're going to get hurt? Yeah. Sometimes they hurt you. But Jesus was a friend anyway. You know, there was this time we just talked about it last week about, you know, the five loaves and the two fishes and how Christ fed everybody. And he gave them. And then later on, when he was asking for things in return, he says a lot of his followers stopped following him. You know, they ignored him. They left because he wasn't feeding them. He was asking for this two-way relationship, this friendship, and they walked away. Even if they betray you. Judas, the one who was with him, chosen to be in the 12, acted as a friend, and yet he betrayed him. But Jesus was a friend. In all circumstances, in all times, in all places, no matter what we've done, he's our friend. He's made a covenant with you and with I, no matter what. And he's going to hold up his end of the bargain. You talked about covenants this morning in our Sunday school class. Abraham made a covenant, and God made a covenant with Abraham. And then he went and said, all right. Abraham said, I'm going to make this covenant happen. And he went and he messed it all up. And God came in and said, yeah, well, I made a covenant. You messed it all up, but I'm going to hold through. And even after Peter rejected, denied Christ, he still prayed for him, still cared for him. He was his spiritual friend. He's our confidant. There is nothing that we can't tell him that's going to shock him. It's going to make him revile, make him move farther away from us. You know, he's hospitable. You know, he was facing death. He sat down for his final meal. He washed the feet of his disciples, make them feel at home. And he's going to take the hit. And he did. He went up on the cross and he took the hit, so that you and I would know him, so that you and I would know and have an opportunity to see what kind of a friendship that Christ can offer us. What he asks of us now is to go out to produce, to be fruitful, to be a friend, to covenant with people no matter what their circumstances are, no matter what they do, to be a friend, to pray for them, to be their confidant, to give them what they need, and to fight their battles when they can't. I thank you for your time.